Republicans, Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei says the presence of foreign militaries, including that of the U.S. in the region, is a source of warmongering and destruction. A new media report points to the possible use of a British intelligence base in the U.S. assassination of top Iranian general Qasem Soleimani. North Korea accuses the United Nations Security Council of applying double standards over military activities among UN member states. Our top story for this half hour, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has urged countries not to rely on foreign powers for their security and to not allow them to interfere in their internal affairs. Ayatollah Khamenei added the presence of foreign militaries, including U.S. troops in the region, is a source of destruction and warmongering. He noted the armed forces of the regional countries can ensure the security of the region. The leader said regional armies should not allow foreign militaries to interfere or be present in the region for the sake of their own interests. Ayatollah Khamenei said events going on in some countries to the northwest of Iran should be handled to prevent the presence of any foreign forces there. Elsewhere in his remarks, the leader described the Iranian armed forces as a defense shield against threats posed by enemies both inside and outside the country. He called the Iranian armed forces a robust fortress for the country and the nation. Political analyst Tohid Asadi says a key message of Ayatollah Khamenei's speech was that Iran will use its military capabilities for the benefit of itself and the region.
A huge amount of military equipment comes from the United States, and knowing the fact that there are so many military bases in the region depending on the United States, and a long list of actually military activities done in a very direct way by the United States to intervene in the region. So Iran's supreme leader correctly referred to the fact that these sorts of action are not going to be for the benefit of any country in the region, and security by itself is not something, it's not like an item to be purchased from a supermarket. So basically, if any country of the region intends to enjoy an acceptable level of security, they should first and foremost depend upon themselves, and then secondly, pay attention to the intentions behind, let's say, countries like the United States, which come to the region for the sake of so-called creating security, but the truth of the matter is that they start wars, they just bring a lot of problems to the region. So all in all, I think the gist of the matter is that Iran is going to use its military capabilities for its benefits and, most importantly, for the benefit of the region. This is a very key point that we need to pay close attention to, and which was reflected in the speech.
Iranian lawmakers have issued a statement saying the Islamic Republic considers any change in regional borders a red line. The lawmakers backed the recent drills by the army's ground forces near the borders with Azerbaijan. They said the drills send a message of peace to regional countries, especially the Republic of Azerbaijan, but serve as a warning to Israel. The lawmakers also noted that Iran will not tolerate the use of other countries' soil by Israel for its hostile purposes. They also called on Baku to address divisive moves that go against the good neighborly ties. An investigative report has linked a British Royal Air Force base to the U.S. assassination of top Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. London-based journalist Barnaby Pace has come up with a report that concludes the secretive Menwith Hill intelligence site in Yorkshire was probably used to assist in the 2020 deadly drone strike in Iraq. Pace says both U.S. and U.K. personnel stationed at the base operated, quote, beyond public scrutiny and accountability. Campaigners are now putting pressure on British ministers to explain whether data from the site was used to assassinate Soleimani. The Iranian general was the commander of the Quds force of the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps when he was targeted outside Baghdad airport. In International human rights lawyer Edward Corrigan says the U.S. and the U.K. keep their cooperation on drone strikes secret to be able to continue their extrajudicial killings.
But General Soleimani and General Abu Mahdi al-Mohandas were very, very effective military leaders, and because they were effective and well-respected and won the war against Daesh, you know, the Americans, the British, and the Israelis were afraid of them because they were so good. And the Americans, the CIA, you know, MI6 in England, the Israelis, you know, they claim that there's, you know, this is top secret information. They can't reveal it because it will reveal their sources and will affect national security. But they use this as a blanket to justify all sorts of actions, many of which are actually war crimes or, you know, extrajudicial assassinations. And, you know, where you've got British and Americans, you know, waging war in Yemen, where there's no declaration of war, also in Somalia, and even using drone strikes in Pakistan, all of which is totally illegal. But when people expose it, they, you know, always claim, I'm sorry, we can't reveal this information due to national security considerations. And this is sort of a blanket argument that basically shuts down any discussion, and the courts are usually very deferential to it. There is a publication called Covert Action Bulletin, which is printed in the States, and its membership is people who were former U.S. security agents and spies for the CIA, and they are doing reports that they've been involved in and have been publicizing a lot of this. And of course, you know, they're very good investigative journalists in Britain that publish in The Observer and the Guardian. And so that's how the stories get out.
North Korea has accused the United Nations Security Council of applying double standards over military activities among UN member states. The North Korean Foreign Ministry says the UN body remains silent about Washington's joint military exercises and weapons tests with allies, but takes issue with Pyongyang's missile tests. It says such an approach is, quote, a denial of impartiality and objectivity. The ministry has called a Security Council meeting on Friday over Pyongyang's latest missile launches, an intrusion into the country's sovereignty. The military also says a closed-door meeting was what it describes as a serious, intolerable provocation. The session came after the North test-fired a series of projectiles, including anti-aircraft and hypersonic missiles. A blast in the Afghan capital, Kabul, has killed at least two civilians. The Taliban have confirmed the explosion. They say the blast struck near the entrance of the Eidgah Mosque in Kabul. According to the Taliban, at least three people were also wounded. There have been reports of shooting as well. No details are available on what caused the blast. We'll provide you with more on the story as soon as we get more information. Well, October 3rd marks the anniversary of a U.S. bombing of a hospital run by a French medical charity in Afghanistan. 6 years on, survivors of the attack, as well as families of the victims, want those responsible for the carnage to be put on trial and face justice. We have a report on that.
It was the dreadful night of October the 3rd in 2015 when a U.S. Air Force chopper attacked the Doctors Without Borders hospital in the northern Afghan city of Kunduz. The assault burned dozens of patients as well as medical staff alive. Nearly 7 months later, the Pentagon concluded that the assault was an unintentional and did not constitute a war crime.
The investigation did not conclude that these failures amounted to a war crime. General Campbell took the action he deemed appropriate regarding 12 of the 16 personnel involved in this tragic incident who were in Afghanistan.
General Lotel then claimed the strike resulted from a combination of human errors and equipment failure as well as unawareness. However, a 3,000-page report on the bloodshed was not made public. The findings, however, drew strong criticism from Doctors Without Borders. The MSF said the U.S. narrative of the incident was an admission of an uncontrolled military operation during which American troops failed to follow the basic rules of war. The MSF said questions about negligence and the list of errors outlined in the declassified report remained unanswered. The group even called on then-U.S. President Barack Obama to permit an independent inquiry into the attack. The assault, which killed 42 patients and health workers and injured many others, also drew international condemnations, with rights groups calling it a grave violation of the international humanitarian law. The international pressure prompted Obama to admit that the attack was a mistake and apologize for it. The apology, however, did not pacify the families of the victims, with many of them demanding those responsible be tried in international courts. U.S.-led foreign forces had repeatedly engaged in aerial and ground attacks under the pretext of targeting militants, but Afghan civilians were the ones bearing the brunt of the carnage. American forces particularly continued bombings despite announcing an end to their combat operation. An attack just days before pulling out of Afghanistan is a testimony U.S. forces paid little heed to innocent lives. 10 civilians, including 7 children, were killed in a drone strike in Kabul in August, which the Pentagon again called a tragic mistake. The attack on the MSF hospital, the drone strike in August, as well as many other similar assaults, raise questions not only about the U.S. military's efficiency, but its 2-decade engagement in Afghanistan. It remains unknown if any American official will be tried for the crimes committed in Afghanistan, but it is clear that the carnage against civilians will continue to haunt Afghans for decades.
Journalist and political analyst Munir Ahmad says the international community must put pressure on the U.S. to stop its inhumane activities.
They have committed several crimes against the civilian population and civilian organizations. And there should be an independent investigation about all such crimes, and evidences shall be collected. And I believe if they should be put up with the international jury in The Hague, so that they could be punished accordingly. So I believe there should be the international organizations and the UN Human Rights Organization also put up a committee to investigate, like, how many such incidents were happened during 20 years, and what could be the remedy. We need to pressurize America for such kind of incidents, and they are answerable, and we need to assemble all these dissenting voices and opinions all together.
A new poll in the United States shows that most Americans support the idea of splitting the country along political lines. That displays a deep divide in America and breaks up the notion of a functioning democracy. The poll has been conducted by the University of Virginia's Center for Politics.
The January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol during the Congress meeting to certify Joe Biden's presidential election victory revealed the deep division within the American society and political system. Now, months after the incident, a new poll has showcased the extreme divisions between the two major U.S. political parties, that are Democrats and Republicans. To find out how deep the divisions run, the University of Virginia Center for Politics and Project Home Fire surveyed 2012 voters during the summer. Half of the participants had voted for Donald Trump, and the other half for President Joe Biden. Not surprisingly, the results showed a country at ideological war with itself. The responses supporting the idea of forming two new countries out of red and blue states range from at least somewhat agree to strongly agree. Indeed, 52% of Trump voters and 41% of Biden voters expressed support for cleaving the country along political lines. The poll also found that 80% or more of both Biden and Trump voters fear the effects of the other party's policies. As a matter of fact, they said the opposing side presents a clear and present danger to American democracy. In addition, roughly 2 in 10 Trump and Biden voters strongly agreed with the idea of a president bypassing Congress or courts to take needed actions.
The real issue here is the weakening of democracy in the first place, which helps support or enable these notions of secession or mutual hatred.
Furthermore, a June poll found voters saw political division as the top issue the United States faces, beating out the COVID-19 pandemic healthcare, and economic issues.
Clashes between police and protesters have erupted in the streets of the Mexican capital on an anniversary marking the 1968 massacre of students in the city. The police in riot gear fired tear gas to disperse thousands of demonstrators who descended on Mexico City, chanting slogans and raising their fists. The protesters fought back, hurling rocks and projectiles. The Tlatelolco massacre occurred when the Mexican armed forces opened fire on thousands of university and high school students demanding democratic reforms in the then authoritarian Mexico. Activists say up to 300 people were killed during the crackdown. Algeria's expressed anger over French President Emmanuel Macron's recent comments about the country, calling them, quote, inadmissible interference in its internal affairs. In a statement, Algeria said it had recalled its ambassador following Macron's remarks. Media had quoted Macron as saying that the former French colony was ruled by a, quote, political military system. He also put a question mark on Algeria's official history, claiming that it was totally rewritten. This row comes amid already growing tensions between the two countries over visa issues. On Tuesday, France said it will significantly reduce the number of visas to citizens of Algeria, Morocco, and Tunisia. France said it took the decision because those countries refused to take back their nationals who had been denied visas. Algeria called Paris's decision unilateral and summoned the French envoy to lodge official protest. And that's a wrap for now. Bye, everybody.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily around the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box 19395-6767 Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first to sixth. My dad, who is taught me the art of law.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, October 3rd, 2021. Yes, it's autumn. I'm Atefa Erfani, hosting this program today. And as you know, the Listeners Special program is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this Sunday program. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Back. This is Listeners Special, your program, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card in the time of pandemic. So, here, I appreciate those of our listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, who is one of our regular listeners, Denis Kosolapkin from Russia, and Richard Cook from the UK. So, Mizan, Dennis and Richard, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And many thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails or letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. First of all, Anjum Hussein, one of our regular listeners from Kashmir, has sent us an email. Michael Subert from Sweden has sent us an email. Michael is also one of our regular listeners. And Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us this email. And also, again, another regular listener from Chile, Hector Friahofre, has sent us an email. And the last but not the least in this program is an email from Yari Kurhonen, one of our regular listeners. Many thanks for sending us these emails and letters from around the world. Dear listeners, please stay with us. I will be back with these great emails after a short music. I'm back with an email from Kashmir. This email is from Anjum Hussein, one of our regular listeners. Anjum Hussein from Kashmir says, Salam and condolences on the eve of Arba'in of Ashura. I am a regular listener and I like and learn from all the programs you play, especially the ones focusing on morals and ethics and Islamic teachings. Enlightening us on socio-political issues is also a very good measure. Thanks for playing my interview around Ashura about Muharram in Kashmir. I will be writing to you more soon. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you, Anjum Hussein from Kashmir, one of our regular listeners. Anjum Hussein, many thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. Of course, at the time we are reading your email, a few days has passed since the Arba'in ritual. Thank you for expressing condolences on the Arba'in ritual. which is, for your information, dear listeners, the anniversary of 40th days passed after the tragic martyrdom of Imam Hussein, peace upon him, and his 72 companions. Imam Hussein is the third infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. We also, again, of course, a few days has passed since the Arvind ritual, but we also do express our condolences on the tragic martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his companions. Anyway, it seems that you like the programs on, you know, Arba'in, Ashura, and the special programs of Muharram and Safar. So, as you said, these programs enlighten the listeners on social, political issues, and many thanks for your support, your encouragement, and commitment to our radio. So, it seems that your interview with IRB English Radio was broadcast recently, then that's great. Yes, we broadcast these interviews in our programs, especially in Listeners Special, so that's great. And John Hussein from Kashmir, again, thank you for writing to us. So we are looking forward for another email from you, and John Hussein from Kashmir. And from Sweden, we have another email from one of our regular listeners, from Michael Sjöberg. Michael, I wish I'm right in pronouncing your name, Sjöberg. If there is any problem, please let us know about it. Michael from Sweden says, "Dear producer, many thanks for the nice EQSL you sent me a few days ago. I like EQSLs. Better for the environment, cost effective, and it is indeed a quick way to confirm reports. But maybe you can reply with a physical QSL card 1 or 2 months a year. And on a special broadcast, a public holiday, or similar. That would be a great idea, I think. Kind regards." Salam and warm greetings to you, Michael Sjöberg from Sweden. And I do express my appreciations to you for sending us this email from Sweden. So it seems that you like the EQSL. As you may know, we send our dear listeners these EQSLs at the time of pandemic, because sending paper QSLs is not possible in the time of pandemic. So you can be patient after the coronavirus is over, and then we can send you our promotional items, and of course the paper QSL cards. Many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world, and this time from Bangladesh, from Sultan Mahmud Sarkar. Welcome back. As I said, here we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh. Let's see what he says. "Hello, dear IRIB English Radio. First of all, take my special greetings from Bangladesh. Hope you are well with all the friends of IRIB English Radio. I listen to your programs regularly. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to write for you an email for several weeks. I love IRIB English Radio. I love Iranian culture. Iran is worth to be respected for the way it is moving, ignoring the hegemony of America and the West. I wish you all good health during the horrible pandemic. All the best. And special salam and greetings to you from Iran, Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh, and warm thanks to you for sending us this great email. And we also wish you all good health during this horrible pandemic. We wish you all good things and good job during this time. As you said, we are in the time of pandemic, and so my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, and we're so happy that you love our programs. As you said, you love IRB English Radio, you love Iranian culture, and that's great. So we hope this mutual relationship between IRB English Radio and you continue until the end. So write to us soon, and of course, tell us your views about our programs. And from Chile, we have an email from Hector Ferriajofre, from one of our regular listeners. Hector says, "Dear friends at IRB English Radio, please accept my greetings from the city of Santiago, Chile. Regarding listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am always attentive, but the bad propagation has not allowed me to have the opportunity to tune in to your radio regularly. However, I do hope that the technical problem will be solved very soon. I will be able to listen to your programs and appreciate the traditional music and interesting programs. Best regards from Santiago." Hector Friahofer from Chile, salam and warmest greetings to you from Iran. Many thanks for sending us this email. I don't know actually what you mean by bad propagation, but I hope this problem soon will be solved, and you could be able to listen to our programs, as you said. Maybe at a time you have problem to tune in to IRB English Radio programs, maybe you can refer to our website, www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can also find the online radio and the archive of the programs. I know most of you love the shortwave radio and traditional radio, but, you know, maybe you have sometimes the problem and you lose the opportunity to tune into IRB English Radio, then you can refer to our website. So many thanks for writing to us anyway. Hector, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Finland. Here I'm back with an email from Finland from Jari Kurhonen. Jari Kurhonen, one of our regular listeners, says, "Hello from Finland. I was able to hear the signal of IRIB English Radio from Iran. The signal was poor to fair for a while, but the station faded out soon after it had given the station identification. I enclose MP3 clips about the reception. It would be a pleasure to receive a verification from you. Best regards." Salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, Jari Kurhonen from Finland, and thank you for sending us this email. And what a pity you had the problem in listening to IRB English Radio programs. So maybe we can inform our technicians and engineers about this problem, and soon your problem be solved. You know, we received the MP3 clips you sent to us. Thank you for that. My colleague will soon send you an EQSL card. Jari Kurhonen from Finland, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Wishing you all the best and, of course, health and safety in your life, we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch with us and have a good time.
listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pastoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pastodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
From Liverpool to Los Angeles, shortages of energy, labor, and transport are threatening recovery from COVID-19. We're prepared for you an article written by Martin Ferrer. The piece is titled A Perfect Storm: Supply Chain Crisis Could Blow World Economy Off Course. all going so well. Successful vaccination programs were driving the post-pandemic recovery of the global economy. Stock markets were back at record highs, and prices were rising just enough to make deflation fears a thing of the past. But a supply crunch that initially put a question mark over the availability of luxury cars or whether there would be enough PlayStations under Christmas trees is instead morphing into a full-blown crisis featuring a shortage of energy, shortage of labor and transport from Liverpool to Los Angeles, and from Qingdao to Queensland. All the problems are in one way or another tangled up with the surge of post-pandemic consumer demand, but taken together they threaten what one leading economist calls a stagflationary wind that could blow the global economy off course. Mohammed El Arian, the advisor to the insurance giant Allianz and president of Queen's College Cambridge, says recent surprise fall in factory output in China was a clear warning that the world economy could slump while prices were still rising quickly, a doomsday double whammy that almost sank the UK in the 1970s. He said the supply chain problems are much more persistent than most policymakers expected, although companies are less surprised. He added, governments are having to rethink quickly because of three elements. Supply side, transport and labor are coming together to blow a stagflationary wind through the global economy. Energy shortages are providing the starkest illustration of the problem, with increasing numbers of petrol stations in the United Kingdom running out of fuel, and cities in northern China having to ration power and force factories in the world's number one manufacturing nation to shutter just when pre-Christmas demand is reaching a peak in the West. Both countries have been caught out by not having enough reserves amid a scramble throughout the world for natural gas and for oil, which has almost doubled in price in 12 months to nearly $80 a barrel. Along with ongoing COVID-related restrictions in some large manufacturing countries such as Vietnam and a well-documented shortage of components such as computer chips, factories are simply not producing enough. British car production dropped by 27% year-on-year in August, as a lack of semiconductors and led to a big drop in the number of vehicles exported to Australia, the United States and China. On Thursday, Volkswagen, Ford and Opel maker Stellantis announced fresh temporary closures in Germany because of the chip problem. Opel is closing a plant until 2022, the longest such stoppage so far. In Japan, an index of stocks finished goods has dropped to levels not even seen in the wake of the 2011 earthquake and tsunami disaster. But even if they could get their hands on more sources of energy and materials, and factories could make more goods, it would still cost more to ship things. Drewry's shipping index, which measures the cost of containers, is up 291%. Compared with a year ago. On some busy routes, such as from China to Europe's biggest port of Rotterdam, the cost of shipping a container has risen sixfold in the past year. The problems don't end with the goods arrive at a port, with labor shortages presenting a final problem in the increasing tortuous journey of products to their final destination. A lack of truck drivers in many parts of Europe, partly because of disputes over conditions and partly because of ongoing COVID restrictions, is causing delays. Flavio Romero Macau, a supply chain expert at Edith Cowan University in Western Australia, says says that massive pent-up consumer demand in the wake of the pandemic has strained the world's delicately balanced economic ecosystem. Flavio Romero Macau says consumers are crazy to buy things because the world is awash with dollars from government stimulus, higher savings, and pent-up demand. PlayStations, laptops, phones, gym equipment, you name it, people are trying to buy it. Adding, higher demand and restrictions supply equals inflation. There's no way out of it. You put all these things together and it's a perfect storm. While warnings increase about the threat of stagflation, more economists believe central banks might have to move more quickly to raise interest rates if inflation takes hold across the developed world. The Bank of England has flagged that interest rates could go up next year, and the US Federal Reserve has at last signaled the end of its massive pandemic stimulus plan that could push up the cost of borrowing in 2022. Neil Shearing, the chief economist at Capital Economics, said Britain and the United States were most at risk from overheating into inflation, leading to central bank action. Neil Shearing said risks are generally skewed to the upside, and there is a real possibility that inflation increases to a much higher rate that would in time necessitate a more substantial tightening of policy. A paradigm shift in monetary policy after years of cheap credit could be accompanied by a rebalancing of the global economy as countries seek to shorten supply chains and become more self-sufficient through more autarkic policies, which promote non-reliance on imports. Romero Macau believes many companies could take the chance to move manufacturing away from China, where the supply of cheap labor that launched this economic miracle is drying up, to countries such as Vietnam and Mexico. He said the latter has cheaper labor costs than China, making it attractive especially for American companies. Richard Flax, the chief investment officer at digital wealth manager Moneyfarm, said the crisis was already prompting a rethink by policymakers and business leaders. He said large corporations and governments are reviewing their supply chains for crucial goods, with a mind towards security of supply as well as costs. We would expect to see supply chains in some sectors shorten as a response to COVID, either via reshoring or as companies try to diversify their sources of supply. Off the coast of Los Angeles, California, a record-breaking flotilla of container ships is waiting to unload goods. With the holiday season approaching, companies across the United States predicting shortages and price rises for everything from artificial Christmas trees and sports goods to Thanksgiving turkeys. Retailers warn that basics could once again be in short supply. Some experts predict 80% of the United States will be vaccinated against coronavirus by the end of the year, but the pandemic's impact will last far longer than that as the broken links in the global supply chain continue to drag down the economy. Log jams of container ships are only one part of the story. The United States is also experiencing a massive labor shortage, especially in the leisure industry and entertainment sector. There were a record 10 million job openings in the United States at the end of June. Help wanted signs can be spotted in restaurant windows across the country. U.S. Republicans have blamed pandemic-related increases in unemployment benefits for a lack of workers. Those benefits have ended, but there is as yet little evidence the industries hardest hit are gaining enough workers. Low wages have led millions to reconsider their careers during the pandemic, phenomena known as the Great Resignation. At the same time, lack of affordable childcare and the continuing closure of some schools has led many people to drop out of the workforce. With coronavirus still a big threat in many of the countries the U.S. relies on for goods, the crisis looks set to continue for some time. The U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell said recently, "It is frustrating to acknowledge that getting people vaccinated and getting Delta variant under control 18 months later still remains the most important economic policy that we have." Jerome Powell added, "It is also frustrating to see the bottlenecks and supply chain problems not getting better, in fact, at the margin, apparently getting a little bit worse." A sudden rise in gas bills caused by international shortage of supply will only push inflation higher still. Without extra support, many families could see their living standards fall.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 41 meters, 7,410 kilohertz for Indian subcontinent, and FM, 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or BAT 5 and via internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverse.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. The Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the Imams alayhi as-salam, and we have clear traditions from Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and in this one that we will inshallah mention today from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, you know, made the day of Ashura and made the day of the 10th of Muharram a day of pure grief, a day of sadness, a day of, you know, crying, weeping, and remembrance. And this is something for many of us to pay attention to. For some of us, you know, I speak to myself, lack the understanding of the importance of the 10th of Muharram at times. We just see it as a normal day. Yes, we go, we do our azadari, and then we go and that's it, we finish, and then we get back to our lives the next day. No, it is important. In this tradition, it is mentioned that one of the companions of the Imam alayhi salam by the name of Abdullah ibn Sinan, he was a very close companion of the Imam. There's many traditions from the Imam alayhi salam as well. He says that I entered upon my master, my Sayyidi, and I put myself in his presence. And it happened to be obviously the day of Ashura, it was the 10th of Muharram. And I found Imam Sadiq alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, and I found him pale. That the Imam, obviously, he's putting himself in a realm that, you know, it is the reality of the 10th of Muharram. Obviously, this is a whole philosophical discussion, the concept of time, of, you know, the concept of the time of this realm compared to the realm of, for example, the imaginative world and the world of the intelligibles or the intellectual realm, and so on and so forth. But the Imam is attaching himself beyond the time of this realm. It is possible. He's taking himself to the reality of the day of Ashura. And this companion said, I found the Imam on that day of the day of Ashura, which is the 10th of this, you know, material world, if you want to call it. But the Imam may be probably in a different realm. He's seeing something else. And I found him pale and grief-stricken. And this is a very beautiful part. I found him in this state, and there were tears streaming from his eyes like falling pearls. That the Imam, alayhi salam, this is an Imam, the Imam who we attribute our fiqh and our jurisprudence to, the master of our school of thought, the person who has enabled us to live a religious life, he himself is crying like, you know, streaming pearls for the event of Ashura, for the slaughter of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who truly understand and who are able to enter upon the Imam of our time in such a state and to join him in these mornings and in the morning of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.